So the people who are 50, 60 years old now, and just, you know, they were GBCs, sannyasis, gurus, temple presidents, Sankirtan leaders, they were. And now they oppose the whole system because they got to have downtime with their family. I can't support that. I can't say that's a glass half full. That's just straight up front Maya. But because they were a GBC, a temple president, a sannyasi or guru, then they think that they're above being pointed out that they did anything wrong. And so they'll go on their whole life in illusion. Fine, they want to go on their whole life in illusion. Fine. That I don't care. But when they try to make a philosophy that everybody else should follow the same useless path that they're following and say that this is bona fide, then I have to stand up and say, this is nonsense. Most of the stuff that comes out in our movement that is opposed to the Vedic culture and everything like that, and just trying to rationalize mundanity, is coming out of that very community. And now I'm supposed to say glass half full? Where is the glass there? I don't even see a community there. Everybody's just come, bought a little land. What's holding the place together? What is the fabric that is there? Other than it's a nice place, it's not too hot, not too cold, and it's not as expensive as LA. There you can get a little apartment. For the same money, you can buy 5 acres. That's why they moved from LA to Alachua. You know what I'm saying? It's out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't that they moved, you know, this is going to be the great preaching opportunity or this or that. So, fine, they want to take care of their family life. I'm in support of that. But I'm not in support that to rationalize their now need to take care of their family life, they try to adjust their philosophy and culture to fit it. I'm saying they want to be there. Who cares that they just got married for the third time when they're in their mid-50s? Who cares? I'm not caring about that. That's what I'm talking about is, why do they have to make a philosophy? Why don't they? We already have a philosophy. Get in there. You want to then spend that time with your wife. Tell her how good she looks. Make sure she looks good. I don't see that happening either. I look around and I see women who are not taken care of. And the men think they're doing a great job. So one thing, if the men don't know what to do, this, that, they didn't know you're supposed to, you know, buy him a sari. That's fine. Right, guys, I bought him 3 saris last year. Whoopee. That's what I'm talking about. It's just this arrogance that they think they're doing so perfect because, why? Because they're Americans? That's the bottom line. Because they're Americans. Every other country in the world hates Americans. They like their McDonald's and their, you know, iPhones and this and that. But they hate the Americans. And the Americans are so foolish they don't see that. They think because we do it here, therefore the whole world should do it. We think like this, the whole world should. The rest of the world is comfortable. You can go to parts of the world that today, girls who are at university and that are still virgins. Never touched a boy. And it's perfectly normal. No one thinks they're a weirdo. It's going on. The American, no, it's impossible in all this. It's impossible in your backyard, your little 5 acres, it's impossible. Why is it impossible? Because you make it that way. All the neighbors in Alachua, they're all devotees, but still they claim, oh no, we have to live this Western lifestyle because of the pressures of the community. What community? It's a bunch of trees. You know, I say, you know, the willow tree in your backyard was saying, no, no, you can't dress like that. You know what I'm saying? It's absurd. It's actually absurd that they're taking this, their need, their own attachments for their mundane lifestyle, and then forcing it on everybody else. That's a misuse of their Americanism. The proper use is, I'm God-conscious, then the whole rest of the world better be God-conscious. That's the proper use of being an American. But it's like, I can't relate with this Vedic culture, therefore no one's going to relate. That's just going to send them all to hell, that's all. It's that simple. Manu says, if you follow a bogus philosophy, then you'll get the reaction for it. You know, you do something stupid, you get a stupid. But if you profess it, you preach it, you get 100 times the reaction. So now you tell me what's going on. You know, Prabhupada said Vedic culture, all the opinion, and then we sit around and think we can discuss, is it something practical or not? We have more brains than Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada did run a business. He was successful. You name me how many people in Alachua run a business, and how many of them have a job like a Shudra? How many have a business? All 5 of them? Maybe 10 of them? And then they're going to say they know more about this material world than Prabhupada? Prabhupada moved in every sphere and everything. He came to New York, started this movement. They can't even start in their own little, you know, village out there. And then they're going to say Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about? I spit in their face. You know? And then they claim, oh, 20 years ago, I was this, I was. So what? Nice. That's great. We're happy for that. But then if you're going to turn that all upside down now and use that against Prabhupada, you can't discuss, do we follow Varnashram? Is this Veda? You can't discuss that. You can discuss how to apply it. How does it work in the modern age? That's what you discuss. You don't go, does Prabhupada actually know what he's talking about? That's not a disciple. And then you're going to talk glass half full. That's a glass half full of poison. So you want me to praise that? Well, it could have been full of poison. It's only half full of poison. Therefore, you got to give him credit for that. You know what I'm saying? So these classes were looking at the stark reality. I know why they're doing those things. That's fine. But you can't, how long can you blame yourself for that? How long can you blame others? You know, back in the 70s, we were too this, that. It's 2009? How long can we go on saying, you know, because my temple president threw me out on the road, you know, at nighttime with my whole family when it was raining, and now therefore, that was 1980 what? You know what I'm saying? How long can we go on like that? How come we can't move forward, be dynamic? All you have to do, God's laws are always there. All you have to do is follow them. They work today. They work right now. So the problem is we're trying to think, let's go. Cause political correctness, remember, what's the first word in that phrase? Political. It's pure politics. Just, it's nice sounding politics. Political correctness is just politics. The guys that are worried about power, then they're saying, okay, you rah rah, ladies this, ladies that. But it's politics. They don't specifically care about the ladies or this or that. It's just that's the way it goes. You go that way, that's the way it happens. You don't go that way, then people jump up and down. Why? Because it's just something that people's bile moving because they don't have God consciousness. You have God consciousness. What do you need? Political correctness is already part of our process. It's called Artha. You name me one of those persons that are talking political correctness. They ever read Artha Shastra? So if they want to engage political correctness in Krishna's service, great, but then do it according to Shastra. I guarantee you not one of them has read it. And in fact, they will even say it won't apply. They'll oppose it. And then you're going to tell me I'm supposed to tell them that's half full? I can find what's half full. You know, they want to be able to be in an environment in which they feel, people are comfortable and accept what is there in the lifestyle, because the living entity, being female, has to feel that they're part of something that's dynamic. Right? So the nature of the soul, that's why they're talking all this stuff. But guaranteed, they don't know this. You know what I'm saying? They're comfortable in it. They don't know how to wear the clothes. They don't know how to do the things. They don't know how to be comfortable like that. Because if they did, you know, then they'd be, you know, more prominent in society. But if they were a karmi, they'd be the same, you know, person that doesn't know if he should wear this or that or trying to fit in. They'd be the same exact person. Right? So, therefore, then, they're trying their best to find an identity so that they can function, and they don't know how to accept a spiritual or Vedic identity other than political. They just don't know. At moments they're there, they get some clearness and everything like that. That's great. But to therefore then stand on the material and make a philosophy out of that and oppose the eternal laws of God, that doesn't sound laudable. You know what I'm saying? They can go about it in a different way. You know, so the person needs to eat. Okay, we understand he's hungry, he has to eat. Okay, he could eat some, you know, nice vegetarian food stuff, or he can eat him, you know, McDonald's double cheeseburger. So you can say the underlying principle is good. So we can say, yes, you know, he simply was trying to keep body and soul together. So we should say the glass is half full because he ate a burger. But he could have eaten something else. But he's opposing and saying, no, vegetarian is not good. You know, it doesn't work in this age. You know, you're going to die. No protein, this, that, blah. But we know it's other than that. So in the same way as those who understand the Vedic culture, no, it works. It doesn't matter what people think. It still works. It works today. You apply today, it works today. People who say this doesn't actually aren't that thoughtful. They don't have that experience. The people who stand on this the most, how much time have they spent in India? The people who oppose the Vedic culture the most, how much time have they spent in India? You can look, basically zero. They come for a meeting and leave. In fact, they don't like coming to India. And now they're going to be the authorities? So they're just like Max Müller and everything. Max Müller never visited India. But he was the authority used by the British to establish how the Vedic culture was not important. But what did he establish? He at least established the Christian culture was. What are these devotees establishing? So what is it going to be? Christianity? Judaism? You know, going to go maybe be a little more upbeat, Buddhism. So what culture are they replacing it with? Nothing. So therefore, there's no community. That's my point. 1,500 devotees, there's no community. What does that say? That means they don't know what community is. Otherwise, they would have one. Yes. Yeah, but do you have to be a grihastha to be initiated and chant 16 rounds? So how is that a perfection of the grihastha life? That's their sadhana. You have to understand ashram has two parts. Your sadhana and your family interaction. I'm talking about the family interaction. This is the thing, is if you want to find an excuse how to get around what I'm saying, you can do it. But the thing is your family life is still going to suck just as much as it did before you found the fault. That's the point, is if the man's going to quote, the women have to follow the man, they have to be submissive, they have to serve, they want to quote all those things, great, it's true. But what is the man who they are following, submissive to and serving, is a pure devotee. Kardama Muni is such a man. He wanted to be married. He's a good brahmachari, first class brahmin, but he could understand, I need to be married and experience family life. And my whole purpose is because I want to get through that, experience it all in connection with Krishna, not just experiencing, and therefore become God conscious. And he did that. He's not making excuses. Devahuti is what? The daughter of who? Swayambhuva Manu. That means she is a princess. He's a Brahmin. He lives out in the hut next to the river. So when she marries him, she lives in the hut next to the river. And when she sees that, yes, she has the right mood and everything, right, which he's able to see. He's trained so he knows what to look for. Then what does he do? He provides all the facilities for her as a princess. How many men even consider the needs of the women? Do they need a sari? Do they need some nice food? Do they need, you know, to be taken out and for a walk in the evening? I'm too tired. I was all day this and that. She wants to go out for a walk. The guy doesn't. He thinks, I'm being Krishna conscious. No, you're not. Don't fool yourself. You know, who said it's going to be easy? Who said, now it's like this. if you have a situation where someone, when they want it, it has to happen, right? And then there's someone who, what they want, they can wait and do it later out of consideration for others. Which of those two would you consider higher? The second. Okay. So now, the woman wants to go out on a, for a walk now. Then you'll see, oh, she's just being selfish. But you not wanting to go out to walk is just as selfish. Now, if you have the selfishness in the man, the selfishness in the woman, then what is that? What is it going to result in? You're just going to think she's trippy, but she's going to be very distressed. Because she's thinking she married a man. A man is supposed, he claims that he's more intelligent, more this and that, then act like it. Then when she wants to do something, you didn't, then you do what she wants to do. Put yours off till later. Women can't do that. That's why they're less intelligent. They feel it now, it has to happen now. That's the less intelligent. The man, more intelligent, they feel like it now, it's not going to work now, so they'll try for later. That's intelligent. But the man demands to be as unintelligent as the women and then say that the reason is because we have the potential to be more intelligent than you. Therefore, you're supposed to, you know, do what we say. But you're just being just as unintelligent. The same thing you're claiming that they have a problem with is exactly what the men are doing. Exactly. So this is my point, is that if you really want your material life to go well, you want family life to go well, then you have to learn what it is. I only speak on this because people are jumping up and down, destroying Krishna conscious fabric for the culture and philosophy for their own little, you know, family life. You know, so the guy can sit in Alachua, sell real estate, and, you know, interact with his family. He has to have a philosophy. You know, what's the big deal? Get married. Who cares? Maybe it's not ideal to get married at 50. So what? Do it if that's what you need. That's not the problem. The Vedas can accommodate that. What they can't accommodate is that you say that, you know, it's the Vedas aren't practical. That means you don't know what you're talking about. It's just that simple. Does this make some sense? So the whole point is it's very practical down to earth. But the men are so entrenched in their own, just that they know what they're doing, that you can't get through at all. You know, that's the first thing in a student is, are they submissive? They're not. So it's a Bhagavatam class, so therefore I can say whatever I like. You know, but if you come to me personally, I'll mention these things, and if it doesn't in any way seem to make sense, I won't pursue it. As soon as I say, are you taking care of your wife? Are you interacting with her? Yeah, I know all the things to do. You know, it's kind of like, of course, I know what I'm doing. I'm not exaggerating. Of course I know. And then, you know, 3 months later, you find his wife's off with three other guys. Three, not one, three. You know, and Mr. Know-it-all can't even see it because he's so arrogant. We're not saying she's right for being off with three other guys, but we're saying, how is it that his arrogance, you know, was adding to, you know, this whole unfortunate situation? And even though you're willing to tell him about it or trying to tell him about it, he doesn't want to hear it because he's the man. He's already perfect. This is what I'm talking about. You know, but it's right there. We've heard it. We've read just like this. It's a simple point. Have you ever heard of Krishna at any time in any of his pastimes being rough with any of his women? No. Has he ever chastised them? Rukmini for what? No, but that's the point. He didn't chastise. No, he wasn't. He was joking. But he was joking. But he's joking. Okay, if you got an issue on this, we'll take that after. But the point is that we're trying to say is, you know, just like this. Okay, if you want the men to go on like this, then you distract it off at this point, if that's what you want. If you want him to understand, the point is that there is no time. And when his women are upset with him, does he ever come back and react strongly? No. So right there, you have enough information with just that, that you could get rid of most all problems in your family life. But men will not recognize that. No, you got to show them who's boss. You got to this and that. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to show them, you know, who's the man. You know, they'll just, every man will say that's what you got to do. But is that a man? If two women start fighting, what is the first thing to establish? Who's the boss? Who's the pecking order? You know, and how do you do that? With sharp words. So now, what method are the men using to establish themselves as men? The women's method. And then they claim they're men? So that's the thing. It's so unknown, this science, that the men are simply acting like nasty women. And that, you know, butch women, and then thinking that, you know, that makes them a man. You know what I'm saying? Like the woman, she cuts her hair short, you know, gets a few tattoos, rides on a big Harley, and now suddenly she's the man, right? And now she can boss around all the ladies who are, you know, act as ladies. You know what I'm saying? But that's not exactly a man. The technical term for that, I mean, I don't know if it's politically correct, but is a lesbian. So that's the problem, is most men are acting as lesbians. You know? And if you want more, I can back it up. What I'm saying is I may be strongly presenting it, but I can give you down to, you know, hair splinting detail. That's the point. That's the problem. So that's why there's fighting. The men act as men. All they have to do is act like... See, it's like, what is it? A woman is insecure. She is dependent, so she has to be supported. Right? So that means her position is dependent upon what she's connected to. Right? By definition. Masculine means he's independent. He is not dependent upon others to establish his identity. He is who he is on his own. So why does the man demand that only if the women are submissive and, you know, respect his position, that that makes him masculine? That's the way a woman thinks. It's not the way a man thinks. Man is, Krishna is the supreme controller, but where's the taste? The taste is Radharani telling him, well, you messed up my hair, so now fix it. She doesn't say, oh, Prabhu, so nice, you know, I really liked how you did my hair yesterday. Could you fix it again just like that? No. She says, you messed up my hair, now you fix it. Right? Now he could go, what's this attitude? You know, I mean, what is going on here? You know, I'm God, you know, it's like that, you know. You see my papers here, right here, Bhagavatam says I'm God, you know, so, you know, like that, you know. He doesn't do that. He just fixes her hair. That's a man. But that's the problem. Men nowadays don't even know what a man is. And unfortunately, the women don't know either. They've heard about them. Right. Hmm? Yeah, they're in stories, you know. The guy in the white horse, you know, like that, you know. You understand? So they're looking for men. When there's men, they can be women. You want the women to be women, great, then be a man. You don't be a man, don't expect them to be a woman. They'll meet you halfway. You know? But the thing is they're better at being a woman than you are, so they're always going to win. So the only way you're going to defeat them is being a man. So that means it looks like they're winning, but you win. The woman doesn't want to win. She wants to take her crack at it to test if it's a... Because if he wins so easy, no, she has to make it a problem. Right? He loves her, but then if it's just so easy to come in and say, hi, honey, I'm home, you know, love you, you know, like that, and then goes and sits and reads his newspaper... You know, say, prove it. Show. You showed it this way yesterday. You had to show it a different way today. Women are variety. Men want it to all be the same, but at the same time have the variety. No, men are the same. Women have the variety. The guy has the same shirt, the same pants, the same... She's got to have so much variety, even if she'll never use it, the option is there. If, for chance, they happen to go on a vacation to Bali and go down to this particular beach, then she could wear this outfit. It's there in the closet. You know, like that. And it could possibly work for the Riviera, but actually I'd wear something different, you know. A little less, you know, ethnic and bright, you know, a little more sophisticated. But it may never even, you know, go. But the option is there. Men has the same thing. So the variety is created by the women. It mentions, the verses before, is that this environment of love is generated by the women. That was a few verses ago. He gives heart and senses to a woman who falsely charms him with Maya. He enjoys solitary embraces and talking with her, and he is enchanted by the sweet words of the small children. So then, Prabhupada is mentioning, she creates this environment of love. Yeah. Like that, because she in her mind sincerely thinks that that's love. It's just attachment. But the ways of expressing the attachment, one. He can't think. So that's the whole thing, is the men are so, they don't understand what a man is, so therefore they can't understand what a woman is. And the women haven't seen men, therefore they don't know what women are. Men make women. Right? When men are men, women can be women. You know, God's first, then he create, then he expands these energies. Right? So that's it. The men are men, the women can be women. So the men are upset the women aren't behaving as women because the men aren't behaving as men. It's like this. Do you want to control the country? You know, which would be more intelligent? Controlling the country or controlling the guy who controls the country? Right? Controlling the guy, because that means you can do whatever you want and you can control the country. Well, he just has to work hard and he can only control the country. So women aren't that stupid. But if it comes down to there are no men around to control that are worth controlling, they'll go out and do it themselves. Right? They have to have a certain standard of living. They'll get it themselves. But once they get it, they're still not happy. Right? They're still not happy. Why? Because they want to share it with somebody, and there's no one to share it with. But fortunately, it seems to work out in most cases when they've really tried and been through the mill by the time they're 50. You know, the guys kind of mellow down and are willing to be a little more submissive. And by that time, the lady's already got all her facilities together. So even if he doesn't get anything for her, she's got her stuff. So now they kind of can make it work. You know, and then they go on a philosophy about it. No, but there's no philosophy like that. Right. These are themes out of movies. They're right straight out of movies. The Karmis, they don't understand, but they see it going on. All your movies are like this. The men are the women in the movies. You know, the women are just normal, this and that. The guy's the trippy one. You know, you go back, you know, so many years, and it was, the guy was the, you know, strong, you know, there and everything like that, and the woman was the emotional one, but she was the emotional as a woman. So this is what I'm talking about. This is facts right in front of us, and we may say this, that, and look at, no, but if we look at it, and if we're going to look at it idealistically, but based on what? You know what I'm saying? If we want to make an ideal, yes, but only the Vedas give that ideal. They only know how to obtain it. Right? Does that make sense? That's why it works. You know, why does it work? You may say things have changed. No, Arjuna came, picked up Subhadra on his chariot. You know, and he had Krishna's horses, right? So you know, you're talking about some serious wheels here, right? You know. Like that. Our Krishna comes and picks up Rukmini. Like this. So that's it. The guy comes by, picks up the girl in some fancy car. It works. Right? It's coming from his. He wants the girl. Girl wants to feel she's wanted. So here the guy is willing to go against all social norms to prove that he loves her. Right? So now, then you go back, then you have, you know, Lawrence of Arabia coming up on his white horse and all that, and catching the girl off the ground and like this. It works. Any movie where they use it, it works. They even use it in modern movies. Somehow or another, they happen to be in New York, they're walking down the street, something happens. They just happen to be going by these guys that have the horses and buggies to take you around Central Park. The guy jumps on a horse, goes after, and like this. It still works. Right? The guy can ride up on a fancy car, you know, something unique, special, like that, a fancy motorcycle. You know, I don't think he can hop up and come up on a fancy pogo stick, you know. Hey, it's a titanium pogo stick. You know? I don't know if it'd work, but where does that principle come from? So we're saying things have changed. Nothing's changed. Just people, you know how, don't have horses that go at the speed of mind. They don't have chariots made out of, you know, silver and this and that. They have some tin can with some wheels on it. You know what I'm saying? But the principle's the same. Women still work the same. Men still work, there's no difference. This is the problem, is that our devotees are claiming to be, you know, how you say, linguists, but they can't translate from one language to another. So they say that, German doesn't work anymore, you know. No, because you don't know how to translate. You think the words aren't there, and you know, from English to German. They're there. So the spiritual language is the original language, the original culture, the original activities. So it translates down to here, not the other way. There it works in its fullness. Here it works in the partialness. Because here the problem is why we said before, the quality of attachment, what we were dealing with on this verse, is that because of the Purusha Bhav, the woman also has that same masculine identity that I am the controller and enjoyer. Therefore, besides just the form of it, so they know as women how to behave as women and get control of the men, like that, create an environment of affection and attachment, but it's still they're doing it for themselves. That's where the love is not there. Well, in the spiritual world, they're doing it simply for Krishna, because there is no Purusha Bhav. But the form of it looks exactly the same. The words are the same. The movements are the same. The looks, the tones of voice are the same. So the form remains the same. What changes is that it doesn't have, you know, in the married life, is that that love for that person is not based on the spiritual platform, because they have one form and you have another in the spiritual world. Who knows? It may be, you know, sisters or something, you know, in the spiritual world. So that doesn't match there. But the form of it, the activity of it, is exactly the same as described in the Shastras. God made the world and he tells you how it works. So that, you know, say, no, my Sony Walkman doesn't work according to the manual, because the manual is from before, so, you know, it doesn't work anymore. You know, but the point is, the world was created how long ago? The time of Brahma. When did the Vedas manifest? So they haven't recreated it since then. So it means the manual is still good. Right? If I have the manual for, you know, a 1903 car, it still works for that car. So this universe was created at the time of Brahma, and the instructions for how it works were created then. I mean, were manifest then. They're not created. They're eternal. The world is built. Manu says the world is created according to the Shastra. Not the Shastra explains that. That makes it. But it's actually the world is created according to the Shastra. So that this idea that devotees can sit around and discuss whether it actually applies or not, it's not a discussion by devotees. And then I'm supposed to take those persons that discussion proves their devotionalness? No, that's atheism. Atheism, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's atheism. But that generation would still be there even if they weren't devotees, because they would be experiencing the same thing as karmis.
But how do we see the mistakes of the past?
By knowing what's correct.
All right, I understand. But how can we still there seems to be that need of addressing that pain. We can't just brush it away.
So we're not talking about brushing it away. No, but we're not brushing it away.
Get on with it.
Did I say that? That's the way you're interpreting it, because that's the way men have dealt with you in the past, and so you want to put me in the same little box. I won't go in that box. Okay. But the thing is I have to prove you wrong, so you've already established yourself as right, rather than the scriptures are right, so therefore we're already... Yeah, yes, that's the point. The point is education is the only way that you can correct it. There is no political solutions. There's no economic solutions. It's only education. Because when people understand what they should do, what is the standard, only then they can do what you need to correct it. Because the same thing to run it also needs to take care of any doubts or misgivings. Right? The man marries the woman. Now, he hasn't been influential on her life up to that point. Someone else has been influential, All right, the father, brothers and sisters, uncles, others, things like that, if they've been the influence on her life. Now, that woman comes into his life. Now, he has to be sensitive to her needs, dealing with the moment. The moment means in the present. You're dealing with 1/11th of a second. He has to be able to deal on that focus, that concentration. So whatever her mood is, if she's happy, so they're married, they're together, then he's dealing with that. But if she's feeling some disturbance or distress because of some past thing, then the principle of that has to be addressed. You can't deal with the detail, because that detail is with the father or the brother of that. You can deal with the principle. So that principle means that's what he's dealing with now. So only an educated person can do that. The point is that people don't deal in the present. They deal in the future or the past. The only way, because action and reaction happens in the present. So people are talking about the future or talking about the past. I don't see people working in the present.
I understand and I agree. Okay. And I'm hoping to be able to be helpful in this way in the future. But it's this pain, like the sexual abuse.
Okay, but the thing is unless when you feel safe, only you can get rid of pain. You know what I'm saying? Addressing the pain doesn't get rid of pain. You know, it's just like this. Let's say the kid's fallen down and scraped his knee, okay? So now you just walk up, very medically just, you know, sit him up, you know, ignore his crying and this and that, and just deal with the knee, right? Isn't that how you deal? Or do you first go, no, don't worry, everything's all right and everything, you know, we'll make it better and all that. And when they're calm and feel safe, then you can put the medicine on the knee. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Until the education is there, people understand how to deal, they can create a safe environment, then you can deal with past pain. But if you just deal, like the present, just deal with past pain, it only just stirs it up more.
Yeah, it does. And it just, I've never been to a lecture, but I can just imagine that's the result of that. It's not
yeah.
Really
Yeah. It's not a matter of just a latch. We're just giving that as example since they have a big mouth. But otherwise, it's not. It's every community of the world. You go anywhere, you can go to you know, New Guinea or this or that. There's still those same attitudes are there.
So can I just please ask another thing? A little bit unrelated. But so we've heard so many classes about becoming detached from family life.
Right.
So
now, are these children dependent, or now they're grown up and on their own?
They're grown up.
Okay, so the thing is that vanaprastha means now you focus, means in the ashram section, as we mentioned, there's sadhana, and there's the family interaction. And on top of that, you also have the varna consideration. So you have to balance your occupation, the family life, and your sadhana. And because so much of the time is some basic sadhana is maintained, but generally you have to adjust things around the occupation and the family, right? So vanaprastha means that now you don't have to adjust the family dealings and the occupational around the sadhana. The sadhana takes prominence. It doesn't mean that there's not proper interaction with family or these kind of things. It just means it's not the prominence. And anyway, older kids don't want it anyway. You know, they don't want you around all 24/7 anyway. So that means you can be involved. So the more you become fixed in this way, the more you'll be able to see how it works, right? Means if through attachment you can't actually see how things work. It may be your inspiration to work with it, but why it works sometimes is very hard to see. Right? It may be that due to the attachment and you want it to work, therefore, if you know there's a science, you'll study the science and learn the science, but you'll be more focused on the form of it. But you'll get it right with time because of your determination. And so then that whole thing can work. But the point is you can make your own life more focused, and therefore you can see how attachment works. Because parents who have messed up their kids' lives, it's been due to their own goodwill and their attachment to their kids. Just that they don't know basically the science of family life. So they've done things that may have appeared to be good at the moment, but in the long run weren't. Yeah. So, but that kind of a thing is corrected by just correcting your attitude. That's the thing, is just like this. Let us say you're underwater and can't breathe, and you've been under there for 3 minutes. What's the solution to the problem? Get out of the water and breathe. That's all. It's not like, oh, we're down in the water, we have to address the water. No, you just breathe. So the point is if you deal correctly with your children now, it solves the problem.
It does. That yeah. Doesn't itself is good
enough. It is.
My betterment of my understanding.
And application in relation to them. You know what I'm saying? It has to be applied. It means the first step is having the understanding yourself. The second is applying it. Then if you're relaxed and natural and comfortable with your Krishna consciousness and your position, and also, you know, understand that you've made mistakes in the past and all that, then you can address them. Otherwise, it also is really annoying if somebody says, oh, I messed up, or I did, I did. You know, how many times can you hear that also? So it's just a matter of just behaving normal. Vedic culture teaches you how to be normal. Yes, I would leave out the right example part.
Why?
Because the right example should be what they're saying, not what you're saying. That it's a right example should be what something that they're saying, not what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? That means the first two are fine, but that one will create a problem, because then you're thinking, I have to set the example. No, you have to deal with them properly as their mother. You know what I'm saying? Example is something that you look at. You know what I'm saying? You have to do what's right rather than focus on I'm setting example. Just like, let's say, Mangalartik. The parents are setting example for the children by dancing in the Mangalartik, but they can't figure out why the kids don't dance. Why? Because the parents are only setting example. If the kids weren't at Mangalartik, the parents would not be dancing. So therefore, the kids actually have followed the nature or the what's actually in the mind of the parents. So that's why I'm saying don't worry about example, worry about the actual, you know, the relationship.
Well, when I say example, I mean that it comes to
yes, but then you're stepping back, because see why I pointed that out, because you're saying I should learn this, I should do that, and then when you said I set the example, then it's back that okay, there's them and them, and this is how I'm getting everything to work. By their mood. If you're taking the means,
there should be a proper exchange now as a mother.
Right.
So as far as faster they're grown up, they're doing their things, it's definitely a fact they don't want to be around.
Yes, but therefore then it's based on them.
So what is the
exchange? How is it okay. Now in the ideal situation, okay, how do you want your father to deal with you? Right? Means you feel you're in a particular mood. You want your father to deal with that mood, or you want to have to drop that for him?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
You don't understand. The child is hungry. Does the parent make the child adjust for the parent, or does the parent adjust for the child?
The parent adjusts for the child.
Yeah, child's hungry, they're fed. They're tired, they go to sleep.
I understand their need.
Right, that's it. So right now, that's what you have to do. You interact with them how they're willing to interact with you, and make sure the first interaction works. Then there'll be a second, and figure that it may take years.
Yeah, because of hurt and pain and whatever, some of them are really gone way ahead.
Yes, but so, but
so
the,
I have to reel them back in.
But you don't have to reel them back in. You attract them back in. See, reel indicates you're controlling it.
Yeah.
You have to attract them back in.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You understand? These are what we're meaning. Is that it's just like this? Is that there's certain. The men use certain words, and it's annoying to the women. So it's the same principle.
It's like Maharaj.
Mm. Yes.
When the children are smaller, as a mother, you already anticipate the needs, you know, beforehand, and you supply them already ahead of time. But now at this stage, do you wait for them to express?
The thing is this, how is the mother able to anticipate what the child needs? So she knew it from day one, or did she learn it with time? Yes,
yeah,
so now is a new situation, so you have to learn it with time. Does that make sense? In other words, it's a new stage for you in your life and also in theirs. So therefore, as vanaprastha, then it's a new learning process. In other words, you're learning the same thing you already know, but from a more subtle platform. Of course you have to let them go. That's why then it's depending upon them how much you interact. So they want to interact, you interact. They don't want to interact, you don't try.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that. And so if you do that, they'll be it's like this. The kids don't mind the parents around as long as they know that it's not going to turn into some kind of trippiness that before annoyed them. So if you're relaxed and comfortable, they're happier around. Why people like family. Right? So then it's a matter of that has to be, so you have to then go deeper in, means in other words, your parenting went at one level, but now as Vana, it has to go to a deeper level. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. I was talking with one grandmother, right, on why they have more influence over the children than the parents do. Okay, so this grandmother told me it's because they're not our kids. So we don't have any, you know, we may have some general expectations, but it's not ours to obtain those expectations. Therefore, we can just go in, deal very relaxed, tell them things that we know are good for them. They buy it, fine. They don't buy it, it doesn't matter because their parents have to take them home anyway. So. Yeah, it's not the same attachment, but at the same time, it's not that they don't have a deep feelings for the kid. It's just not so emotionally turbulent. But they may have the same depth of attachment. It's just like your kids. Your kids' kids is even more grand, you know, like this. So that kind of a thing is there. But that detachment is why they're successful. You know, the grandpa, they say something, you know it's reality because it's not they're telling you to do this, they're just telling you the way it is. You know, you can do like this, but this is what'll happen. You know, I've been there. You know, I was a kid once, so I did it, you know, and this is what happened. And later on I found out it was like this, and therefore they listen. Because you're not expecting that they'll do it, it's up to them, it's their choice, it's their parents who expect them to do it. So that becomes, one is the parents' drive and why they'll take care at every moment of the kid, but it also can, if without proper education, get in the way also, you know, of instruction. You know, physical care, parents are very good, but instruction, many of them aren't very good at all. Well, grandparents, they may not get physical, they can do it, but generally the parents want to do it, so they'll stand back. You know, parent wants to take care of the kid, they'll let them. But if they don't, they're right there. So that's the point, is that if they're willing for some interaction, you interact. If they're not, you wait. You know, so you have to use the same methods. In other words, you have to adjust to them. That's the senior position. That's the masculine position. You know, so, you know, the husband and the wife, so the man's the husband's in the masculine position, the wife's in the feminine. Parents and children, the parents are in the masculine, the children are in the feminine position. So you have to adjust with them. The law of masculine and feminine, that's universal in anything, right? The driver of the car is in the masculine, the car is in the feminine position. You have to adjust to the car, right? The car doesn't adjust to you.
You adjust to the car. The car can only go so fast to a curve. You can only take it. You can't say, no, it should do that. I'm the owner of the car. It should do what I say. It'll crash. You understand? So everything you do, you want to use your blender in the kitchen, you have to use it according to how the blender's comfortable being used. That's the masculine position. So you have to accept that in this case, you're in the masculine position and your children and they're in the feminine position. You have to adjust to them. So in other words, don't make the same mistakes that the men in your life made with you, with them. In other words, what you felt the men did wrong in your life, don't do that. Otherwise, you'll get the same exact reaction that they got with you. Does that make sense? Not exactly. We got five more minutes. Okay. Yeah, it means next time. Next time. Yeah. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada became a great spiritual leader. And before that, he was a first-class man for his whole life.
Yes.
He was also very religious, spiritual. And also was a good father. Was a dutiful family man.
The point is as far as family life, yes. She, you know, how much is there, that worked nicely. But the point is the spiritual is another consideration. The soul actually has to commit to that. It's another decision. Because the science we're talking about works on the spiritual platform, the material platform. But to make the cross between the two, that the individual has to make. That's where free will comes in. The jiva always has that free will. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, with children is if the parents have a good relationship, they'll take up whatever they do. Right? Because of that relationship. But husband and wife, there's other elements in there because of seeing the 50-50, the chivalrous aspect, all this and that. So the wife, for her own security, is trying to always bring things to her side. She sees it that if the husband will adjust for her, then the relationship is secure. Like that. That's just the nature of it. So unless that spiritual determination is there in the beginning, then they're not interested. Cooperate? Why? She cooked the lunch, she took care of the kids. We don't hear any of that. She just wasn't interested in his philosophical pursuits. Materially, it was nice. It's just like, what was wrong with Duryodhana's rule? Do we ever hear anything that he didn't run a nice kingdom? No, he wasn't God conscious. That's the only problem. So the same there is that as she was dutiful as a wife, did all the different things as a wife, would tolerate that he'd go out for business to go around India and be out for months at a time and stuff like that. She'd take care of all those things. But at the same time, it says here, whatever you have is never enough. So, it's just an obvious, it's just the way it is. Now, another thing is now, if what you are wanting, that actually happened, then we'll say, well, Prabhupada can do that, but we can't. So when Prabhupada's family life came out as the same as ours or worse, then we can understand that, it applies to us. Right? Arjuna is an illusion, therefore, if Arjuna was just perfect, then we'd say, oh, that's, he's perfect, we can't do. So the example has to show both sides. But the point is there is the element that the woman herself must endeavor for satisfaction and this and that. But all these things can only be established if the men are creating the environment. So he's creating it now that she doesn't come up to that. Now it's her fault. But in the environment that's there now, it's basically the men's fault because they don't create the environment that women could do everything right. Okay. Countless. Go ahead. Give me an example. Give me an example. You say countless. Give me one.
Well, they may.
No, an example, not they may. An actual example.
Yes. Well, I'll come up with examples, but.
That's the point. Then don't use their unlimited examples when you can't come up with one. But the thing is you're misinterpreting this. Did she not take care of the house? Did she not raise the kids? Do you marry the woman because she's going to be, you know, marriage is there because then she'll be spiritual? Is that what the basic point of marriage is? No, marriage is you have the wife, you embrace her, it gets really intimate, you have sex, you have kids. She helps you takes care of the kids, you focus on getting the facility, you work together, raise a family, and experience the taste of family interaction. That's what marriage is. Is there something beyond that that it's supposed to give?
In
Prabhupada's society? What society? That society that was running after the British? The point is it's two different things. It's two different things.
And they can't force either the wife or the children to go...
But that's spiritual. We're not talking about that. His wife felt protected.
Spiritual or material?
No, you're making a mistake here. You're clubbing the two together. You're not discriminating here.
I'm saying that both materially and spiritually...
Materially, Prabhupada was a successful grihastha, and I don't hear any other crap out of you. Spiritually, his wife wasn't interested. Why can't you understand that? He was a good grihastha. Where are the faults? His wife was happy materially. As good as you can be in the material world. She just didn't appreciate his spiritual endeavors because she felt it took away from family time. Her thing was, you want to be spiritual, do it in your house with your only family members. It says that in the Lilamrita many, many times. That was her opinion. You want to worship deities? Worship in your own house. You want to do a little kill? Do it with your family. Why do we have to have all these outside people? So she was religious, but not that much into spiritual stuff. That's another question, but don't lay that on Prabhupada. It's very insulting. They certainly are. You keep going again and again. Prabhupada wasn't successful.
I'm sorry, I disagree with that.
So then you better learn how to present it so it doesn't sound like that. You know, and then you say, there are so many examples and can't give one other than Prabhupada. That kind of, I don't buy this kind of crap. It's just in your own mind. That's there, but we didn't say his wife was a first-class woman, did we?
So therefore, it has to do with the woman?
No, it doesn't in this case. You're trying to wiggle out of your own duty. You can't be a first-class man and you're trying to blame it on your wife. Don't pull that off in this class. You can't do what you're told. You can't pull it off fully, and then you want to blame her. You married her in the first place. If it's so much her fault, why did you marry her? You could have married someone else. That's fault 100% yours. You married her. We didn't marry her. Prabhupada's not making excuses for his wife. He's not trying to blame his wife. He just wishes that they would somehow or another be interested in the spiritual. But materially, it was going fine. They're living there together. They're happy. They're demanding he comes home and stops all this spiritual stuff. They're happy to have him in the house. So therefore, it's just they weren't interested in the spiritual to that degree. See, if your point is to prove that the women have duties also, I agree. But I'm not going to discuss the women's duties in front of the men, because the men will then take it and shove it down their throat saying, well, this is what you're supposed to do, and they won't do what they're supposed to do first. Of course, because that's the way it flies. That's the way it works. Now, if your emotions are so delicate, like the women, you can't stand to be insulted in public, then say you're a woman. Don't say you're a man. But the women will insult the men like that in front of everybody else. That's the way it works. But men can never insult the women in front of anybody else except private. And even that's dangerous. It's just the way it works. That's what I'm saying. Why can't we understand what is a man's nature, what's a woman's nature? The gopis publicly insult Krishna, but Krishna never insults them. Publicly they tell him what a louse he is and a debauchee. And we say prayers every day like that. What eslishava padaritam pinashtumam adarshanam marmatam karotuva. Well, what's the first part? No, it starts like that. Eslishava. Lumpato, they're calling him a debauchee. We say it every day. Krishna gets insulted in front of the whole crowd in the temple whenever we say that prayer. He's a debauchee. It's just the way it works. So you want to be a man, then step up. You know, if I so say, okay, well, why always win? Is it equal? You want everything to be equal? So then when the women say equal, no, this is not right. When men go, oh, you know, what's the deal? You forget that his wife is an individual jiva soul. Was it like Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba came down and they were doing pastimes together? Here's a pure devotee and just marries the woman that, you know, his father sets up the relationship with. She's a jiva soul like everybody else, conditioned. You get married means ideally you're getting married for your spiritual development, but you can develop yourself spiritually. Prabhupada became perfect. Going through that, he went through all the things. So that's what it is. If the wife wants to follow, great. If she doesn't, that's her fault. But the family life is the technical family life. That's the thing. We can't tell what's spiritual about the family life and what's material. They work on the same principles, but if we can't discriminate the difference, how is it going to work?
He carries over to his children.
Okay, like this. Let's take it like this. I would also consider myself a child of my spiritual master. And so we took up his mood. So now he has thousands of them, and we're going to sit around and point a finger at three of them? Because he dealt in the same way he dealt with them, he dealt with us. You see how he's very caring and very concerned and all that. He was very strict. Also, and so he was like all that. So 5,000 of them respond in one way, and three of them responded in another way. And now we're going to say, well, he couldn't do it, so then what's the bottom line? So we don't have to follow all this. I can be the jackass that I want to, and no one should point a finger. That's the bottom line of this argument.
I don't think so. It is not.
So then why would you push so much on Prabhupada's example in that? But then if you're going to push it, then have the intelligence to be able to discriminate. Okay, we can put it on. Okay, I'm not able to give the good examples, but I find that the issues are clouding the intelligence here.
The general principle is that the man has to be first class.
He is first class, and so his wife was a good wife. So she responded that way. She didn't respond to his spiritual, because it said, Prabhupada says, spiritual husband, religious wife. So she was religious and followed in that way. Unfortunately, she couldn't convert that religious attachment to spiritual attachment.
My point is that this situation can easily apply to thousands of examples.
Yes, they can apply to thousands of examples, but that's not what I'm talking about. But you're not making it very clear. I'm talking about the ones that are falling apart, running to the nose because of things that we're saying other than that. Okay, if you want pressure off, you know, the balls are given too much pressure, hey, we'll let some pressure off. Then what is it then? What is the need? The men feel this pressure. They feel this pressure because they're not coming up to the standard. Instead of saying, yes, I could come up to the standard, no, take some pressure off. We can take some pressure. I can stop talking about this kind of stuff, in fact. You know, it's actually easy for me to not come to these classes. I'm putting myself on the line by talking in this way. And I'm simply talking because I'm hoping that maybe the grihasthas will take it up and make their family life better instead of ruining everybody else's life. I can't be a sannyasi without women in my face for everything because the men don't take care of them. So it's easier for me to go sit over there and deal with my own service than to come over here and try to convince a bunch of people that are worried about their pressure. Yes, but
Yes, but then why don't we come up? We're showing how to get out of that. But instead, I should take the pressure off so that the guilt that I feel and all those things, the bad feelings I have, will become less because I can't come up to the standard. I don't want to come up. I don't see how to come up. How to deal with it properly is we have to be able to go by the false ego. That's the simplest way. If we want more than that, if I'm supposed to sit there and cajole the men like this and that, then I'll start doing that. But if the men then take advantage over the women, then it won't be bought, and I'll start yelling and screaming like this. Okay, so then... Okay, so then the pressure is off. The pressure is off. Won't be any more classes. Okay.